This is the day for the special feature in the Warren County Radio Bible School, in which we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin that we pass out to all who attend the Sunday morning worship service at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And in this bulletin, we are going to read the feature article, which is the Psalm of the Preacher. That's the 49th Psalm. In fact, I think what I'm going to do here is turn in my Bible and read to you the 49th Psalm, and then with that, we'll continue with this bulletin article. And you'll see how it sounds much like something you would read in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's an inscription for this psalm. It's for the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye peoples. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both high and low and rich and poor together. For my mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable and open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their life is costly, and it faileth forever. That he should still live always, that he should not see corruption, for he shall see it. Wise men die, the fool and the brutish alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. But man, being in honor, abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet after them men approve their sayings. Selah. They are appointed as a flock for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be for Sheol to consume, that there be no habitation for it. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. But while he lived he blessed his soul, and all men praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see the light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perisheth. Well, I call that the Psalm of the Preacher, and I'll explain that in this bulletin article. In my old King James Bible, the subtitle to the book of Ecclesiastes is The Preacher. You might hear the word ecclesia in the word Ecclesiastes. Ecclesia is a word for assembly, and the word translated church in our English Bibles. In this context, an ecclesiate is one who assembles together for a message. The ecclesiastic is one who calls an assembly together for a message. In the King James Version, the Hebrew word for this is translated preacher. The words of the preacher. Ecclesiastes 1:1. One of the main themes of this book is the vanity of worldly things. This is also the theme of the 49th Psalm. Hence, it seems appropriate to call this psalm the Psalm of the Preacher. The key to the 49th Psalm is in the last verse. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Psalm 49:20. The honor in this context is worldly honor. The lack of understanding is the lack of appreciation for spiritual things. Such are like the beasts that perish. Because if this world and worldly honor is all there is to life, then the life of man amounts to no more than the life of an animal. The preacher of Ecclesiastes could have sung this psalm. The psalm opens like the words of a preacher getting the attention of the assembly. Hear this, all ye people, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both high and low, and rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Psalm 49, 1 through 4. Having our attention, he begins the sermon. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever, and not see corruption. Psalm 49, 5-9. Money cannot buy eternal life, as Peter would later preach. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. The preacher continues, for he saith that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others, Psalm 49:10. This echoes what we read in Ecclesiastes, how dieth the wise man as the fool? I hated all my labor which I'd taken under the sun, because I should leave it to the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he be a wise man or a fool? Ecclesiastes 2:16-19. The preacher says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call all their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He's like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their prosperity approveth their saying, Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Psalm 49, 11-14. I'm reminded of the common epitaph on the stones in old cemeteries. Gone, but not forgotten. And yet after a few generations, no one remembers who they were. But not so the spiritually minded man. The preacher says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah, Psalm 49:15. Then he makes the application. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. For while he lived, he blessed his soul, and all men praised thee. When thou dost well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light, Psalm 49:16-19. And therefore, Psalm 49:20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. I'm reminded of my favorite hymn, or one of my favorite hymns. Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Well, that is the reading from the Rockcliffe Review. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to return to the Sunday school lesson that we're looking at about Peter at the Transfiguration. We read in Mark chapter 9 and verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Luke tells us that Jesus went into the mountain to pray. There are numerous examples of Christ praying. His prayers were not empty forms and ceremonies. He realized the need of prayer. He felt the infirmities of his flesh, Hebrews 4:15, and the power of temptation. At every important crisis in his life, much time was spent in prayer. He prayed on the banks of the Jordan when he was baptized. He prayed all night before choosing his apostles. He prayed most of the night just after they sought to make him an earthly king. He prayed in this lesson as the approaching cross cast its shadow over him, and Satan, through Peter, again tempted him. He prayed at the grave of Lazarus. He prayed in the trouble of his soul at Jerusalem. He prayed for his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. And he prayed in deepest sorrow in Gethsemane. He prayed on the cross for his enemies and his murderers. He gave thanks for the loaves and fishes when he fed the multitudes on 2 different occasions. And when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he prayed and blessed the loaf and cup. These are not all the occasions on which he prayed. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Since Jesus thus prayed, how much more do we need to pray? If in the midst of all the strife, contention, troubles, and divisions in the church today, all the disciples of Christ would spend several whole nights in sincere and earnest prayer to God, these things would vanish as a fog before the sun, and the peace of God would flow among them as a river. We should pray for all things for which the Bible directs and encourages us to pray, while in everything we should give thanks. So he was praying out a night of prayer and into the Transfiguration. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. And his garments became glistering, exceeding white, as no fuller on earth can whiten them. It's as he was praying, Luke 9:29, during his prayer that he was transfigured. Transfigured means to change the form. The original word is transformed. In Romans 12, in verse 2, we say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. And it denotes a spiritual change. Jesus was transfigured in that the flesh of his countenance was altered. Luke 9:29. His face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as light, Matthew 17:2, and dazzling, Luke 9:29, and glistering, exceeding white, so as no fuller on earth can whiten them, Mark 9:3. Nothing but the purest, whitest, most brilliant, and most glorious objects, snow, light, sun, within our knowledge, could be used to express the brightness of Christ's garments and the radiant glory of his face. The light which shone from this face, shone around the Saul of Tarsus, was brighter than the sun at noon, so bright that it smote him blind to the earth. To John his Patmos it was one as the sun that shineth in his strength, and he fell at the feet of Jesus as one dead. Someday we will behold Jesus in all of his glory.